Welcome to the First Presbyterian Church of Thibodaux and Houma, Louisiana. Through our preaching series, we pray that you would hear the gospel proclaimed. By visiting either one of our congregations, we pray that you would feel the love of Christ, and we pray that you can worship with us. So join us as we dive into today's sermon.
Candle is the candle of hope. Begins the dawn of light. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. We welcome you tonight to our Christmas Eve worship service. This is in the tradition of what is called lessons and carols as we read and sing the Christmas story together. Tonight, we've added a little bit of a wrinkle for those who have been coming to visit for many years. We've got a number of people who are going to come and share personal testimonies about how particular songs or scriptures or readings have touched their lives as they meditate upon Christmas. So as we begin, just be aware of that. We'll be moving from a somber note to begin through the minor chords of Christmas, as we say, and then more towards the joyous time. Being that we do not have a Christmas service, we will move into that mood by the end of the service as we sing joy to the world. So just take a moment as we're blessed to have Abraham and Amanda with us by way of Mexico and Brazil, and thank you very much for your gifts that you have brought tonight. Just take a few minutes as they play O Holy Night to focus your hearts and prepare to worship.
Thank you.
we prepare a room in our hearts for the Lord to consider the grace that has been given to us in Christ. Let us pray. Father, indeed, prepare room in our hearts for you this night. Come and join us by your Spirit. Give us your wisdom to hear and to know your grace, that we may grow and draw nearer to you. We give you thanks for this special evening. Prophets have spoken of a future, and we prepare our hearts for it. In Jesus' name, amen. A reading from Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. And they waited for hundreds of years.
O come, Emmanuel. It's quite an unusual Christmas carol, right? However, this hymn is still commonly sung throughout churches and around the world today. This glorious hymn calls upon various divine bodies to give wisdom, salvation, victory, safety, and love, amongst other requests. This hymn or carol delivers a solid picture of God's grace, of what will come, who will deliver, why and how much he loves us. When I hear this hymn, for me, it paints a portrait of the promise that God told us through his prophet, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And then it all comes true in Matthew 1:23. When I hear those words, O come, Emmanuel, I get emotional, but my soul wants to cry out, O come, God, dwell with us.
We would turn to hymn 245. O come, Emmanuel, let us rise together.
Rejoice!
You may be seated. We confess our sins tonight. More light comes into our lives as we are rightly placed under the lordship of a sovereign God, under his Son who would be our King. Let us pray. Dear Father, as we come tonight, we must acknowledge that your glory is too much to bear, except that the Son has made a path for us. Father, as we have acknowledged him Lord of all, we must also acknowledge our continuing sin. And so hear us now as in the silence of this place, we silently confess our sins to you. Dear Lord, we give you thanks this night for the birth that we celebrate was a rescue mission, that you came to save your people. Have mercy on us. We pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. The third candle is also known as the candle of joy. For as a forgiven people, we do begin to have the joy that is set before us and promised in the last days in Zion. Let us turn to hymn 244 and rise together as we sing, "Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus." Silent night, the first order.
Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Very familiar words that most of us have sung since our childhoods. But I have But I have to believe that the town of Bethlehem was anything but calm, and few people had ever thought of it as holy, except as the birth town of King David. This backwater town of 1,000 citizens was bursting at the seams due to the census that was demanded by Caesar Augustus. Additionally, Bethlehem lay in the shadow of King Herod's palace. It was not a happy region. A rude stable, more than likely a cavern carved out of rock, where the sounds and smells of livestock filled the air, became the birth site of the Son of God, our Savior. Besides fulfilling ancient prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, the hills surrounding it also played an important role. According to ancient Jewish law, the only place where a shepherd could tend a flock was in the wilderness. But there was one exception. The flocks of lambs that were specifically appointed and destined for the temple sacrifices, the sacrificial lambs, needed to be kept in close proximity to the temple in Jerusalem, which was a mere 6 miles away, Bethlehem. Shepherds quake at the sight. These weren't your run-of-the-mill shepherds either. They were specifically appointed to tend to the perfect lambs, the sacrificial lambs. The Lamb of God was born in the place where those lambs without blemish were born and raised. When these special shepherds saw glory stream from heaven afar and heard the heavenly hosts sing Alleluia, it was only natural that they would be first to see the long-awaited Messiah. You see, it was their job to attend the birth of the sacrificial lambs, and it was lambing season. So the Lamb of God was born among the sacrificial lambs for the same reason, to be sacrificed in Jerusalem, to give his life as a gift of sacrificial love and redemption for us. So with the angels, let us sing, Alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
With that, I think we'll sing all four verses, even though it says otherwise in the bulletin. Let us rise.
Oh,
turn to hymn 249, Come All Ye Faithful. We'll sing all three verses. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. As we continue our worship, let us turn to hymn 277. You may remain seated. Hark the herald angels sing.
Thank you.
prepare your hearts for the reading of the word. We'll be in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 9.
I've been tasked with sharing my earliest memory of hearing this passage of scripture read. My earliest and fondest memory would probably be my mother reading this passage to both my sister and I, all together in my full-size bed, shortly before our nightly prayer when I was in the first grade. We would regularly practice family worship in our home throughout my childhood. And reflecting this past week regarding this, I now see that although we were not raised Presbyterian, Mom had probably more Presbyterian in her than either she or we realize. Although we were not baptized as infants, she treated us like children of the covenant rather than outsiders of the covenant. My sister and I were continuously charged to seek after God by knowing Him through reading Holy Scripture and praying to Him. Introduction to Christ's incarnation was foremost in Mom's instruction to us growing up. And as recognition of the mystery that Jesus was both truly God, co-equal with the Father and the Spirit, and truly man, that this miracle of incarnation was a Trinitarian work, and that Jesus being truly God is one deserving of our awe and our trembling. Let us now listen and marvel at the angel's proclamation of the birth of our Lord and Savior. Luke 2, verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Fourth candle is often called the candle of love. As we see in the Emmanuel, the gift of this child, God's love so deep that He would give His only Son.
Our next song is "Angels We Have Heard on High." I always have loved to sing. As a little girl in church, I remember the feeling of, are we going to get just one more song? Are we going to get one more song? And especially during Christmas, those Christmas carols, these beautiful songs which hold so many memories for all of us. I do remember being puzzled of how my elementary school principal, Miss Elsie, made her way into this song, "Gloria in Miss Elsie's Day." Oh, I knew she was powerful, so I just. But really, "Gloria in Excelsis Deo" means glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. The whole earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. God's glory is in the highest, and God's glory is in the lowest. And may he give us eyes to see his glory. Sometimes all we see is what's gory in the world, and there's a lot of that. But the whole earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. God, give us eyes to see. Let's rise and sing, "Angels We Have Heard on High."
We'll sing the Mark verses 1, 3, and 4. Say something, but this is long dead, my favorite carol. We think of the joy of his mother and the mystery in her own heart as she knew he was so much more than she could ever understand. Let us praise him.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Back to this child that we marvel at 2,000 years later is the light of the world. He is the light of all mankind. He is the one who was sent. He is the one who willingly came. He is the Word pre-incarnate. He is the King of all kings. He is the light of Christ in the world, and it shines through His church. Let us remember that. Luke 19, verse 9, we find these words. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Brothers and sisters, we enter into a saved community through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Christmas is the gift of salvation. It's also the gift of community. What a blessing even tonight. As we sit here and in our very room, we represent the nation's gathered. We represent, and I know a few of you, Catholics, Methodists, Baptists, and Presbyterians, and others, all welcome to this room, to this community. One Lord, after all, one faith, one God of all. We are grateful for God to love the world that He gave His one and only Son. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. We're about to come to the table, this communion table, where we gather together as a community of people redeemed by grace. It is in our faith tradition an open table. It's open to all who have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'd encourage you, as your conscience allows, to join us at this table. However, if it does not, let there be no embarrassment or shame. We understand. But this table does not belong to the Presbyterian Church of Thibodaux or Houma or the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. It is the Lord's. And His children are invited to come and eat. The words of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Just in a moment, we will take the elements by intinction. We'll call up one side of the church at the time. We'll come from the back pews first so that we can have a flow. And we'll come up, you'll take the bread, you'll dip it in the juice, and you will eat it. And so it is juice, not wine, for those who may be concerned. So at that time, I'll give further instructions. As we continue to worship, let us join together in the liturgy that is prepared in the bulletin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for this sacrament and the gift of this opportunity to be together. We pray indeed, Lord, that you would be present at our table, that as we take and eat, we will be blessed with community through your Spirit. Amen. Let us join our voices together. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us pray. Indeed, Lord, we thank you for the sacrament. We pray that we would be signed and sealed as your people, that we would be strengthened in it and through it. Father, that you would use this time to bless your church for service in this world. Amen. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let us pray. Indeed, Lord, we look forward to the day where the promise of Christmas is not only brought through to Easter and the cross and salvation and the resurrection, but even more, Lord, where Zion will descend and your people will dwell with you, where darkness will be gone, and we will dwell with you forever. But even as we wait for the glory of that day, we are not left alone in this place. For we have been adopted through Christ, and we can pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. That's Elder Brandon Queen to come forward at this time. So again, as we take, I'll call you up. We'll begin from the back on this side. We'll form a line, and then after you take the elements, you may return to your seat. This is the body of Christ. It has been broken for you. This is his blood. It was shed that you may be cleansed. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Nothing but that, that you might be saved. This meal is just a taste, just the tiniest sample of what will actually be a feast. We will literally sit at table with God, the incarnate Son, who told us, "You are now my friends." We will eat with Him and the Father and the Spirit in one place, and it will be amazing. With that in mind, we'll turn to our final reading, or a reading together. Hymn 783, and Dr. Barr will come forward and speak some words.
For 2,000 years, this has been going on. That's hard to believe. And we've had a message that's been consistent for 2,000 years. And as a child, I saw that child baby, and I had a hard time as a young person in 5 or 6 years of age understanding this big connection over this huge time about this child became the King of Kings. And one of the perspectives of that is we see Jesus living, becoming a carpenter and growing up, and then we move all the way to the Sermon on the Mount and all these wonderful things, and then we have the crucifixion and the resurrection. But there's something that's great that's happening, is going to happen. And that's what this Alpha and Omega connects to. And if you turn to 783, which is the readings, and it calls for something that really stands for the King of Kings. And when we think about the King of Kings, find a king who has resurrected. Pyramids, the greatest things in the world have been built. But we have a king who has been resurrected, who's alive. We worship the living God, and the Holy Spirit has brought us here. We think we may have come on our own accord, but God has brought us here. We have been brought and raised, and we have been touched by God. And tonight we're being touched. If you look at the readings closely, you'll notice that there's the worship leader speaks, then everyone, then the men, women, everyone, worship leader, everyone, worship leader. And I'm going over this because we won't practice, we will do it as we read. This is from Revelation, and it's astounding. I want you, we're going to read it slowly and to think about what we're reading. We're not trying to get through it. We want to think about these words. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True.
Their justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire,
and on his head are many crowns.
He has a name written on him that no one but he himself knows.
He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God.
The armies of heaven were following him, riding on black horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean.
Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations.
He will rule them with an iron scepter.
He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written:
King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
And he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the world will continue to deny that, but we know the truth.
Amen.
Praise God.
You can turn in preparation to hymn 270.
Joy to the World. Joy to the World was written in 1719 by Isaac Watts. Watts was a Methodist minister who wrote the song, his lyrical adaptation of Psalm 98.
Amazingly, Joy to the World was never written to be a Christmas song. It is a song that was written to celebrate the second coming of Christ. Isaac Watts had intended the song to be sung year-round and not just during Advent. There is no precise date or recorded reason why this song became so popular only at Christmas.
Joy to the World is meant to glorify the return of Christ and for all nations to celebrate that God has brought salvation to the world.
Amen. Let's rise. And again, we're going to forego the bulletin and sing all four verses of Joy to the World.
Joy to the world.
It's amazing to think of all the feelings we have about this season. Each person in this room has their own heartfelt stories of what Christmas means. And that's wonderful. But it is also a cosmic event. It is bigger than everything. This is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He has come to live among us. Marvel at the wonders of His love. As you go tonight, remember indeed that the Father in heaven has loved us with an everlasting love that will outlast the stars. It is eternal. And that the Son came. He came joyfully to die on the cross, for the ministry that was set before Him gave Him joy. And He came. And He left and He said, I will send one to you. Another advocate. The Spirit. And the promise is made complete. Brothers and sisters, we will never be alone. That is the message of Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
God bless you all. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to today's sermon. If you want to learn more about our churches, please check out our websites. For the Thibodeau location, www.fpct.net. And for our Houma location, www.houmafirst.church. That is homafirst.church. Again, thank you for tuning in, and may God bless and enrich your day. See you next Sunday.